And time for this week's edition of Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt joining us from the, I like to call it the Swanville Bureau. I sound like Trump when I say that. Well, I like to call, some people say it's the Swanville Bureau. It's just Bruce's house. That's all. But still, welcome, Bruce. Your Skype sounding solid today.
Yeah, well, that's great. And the fact that Skype is working now, I've been able to reach out to some of the authors through their publicists and through the presses. And so a number of the books that we've just talked about and that we'll be talking about in the future, the authors will be joining us via Skype.
Excellent.
Which will be great, including Brad Balouchin, whose book, The Wax Pack, sold out of its first printing. And the second printing, I heard from Nebraska, is going to be even bigger than the first. And one of the very first radio shows before the book dropped to talk about it was, of course, Downtown.
Yeah, and you know, you got the book and you took it with you. And then, you know, we got quarantined, so I never got the book from you. But I said, I can't wait. So I just went and bought it online and started reading it a couple of nights ago. And it's every bit as good as I hoped it would be.
Well, the other thing, too, is I've learned how I can sanitize these books and leave them somewhere for you. So next week, I will have three or four of these that I can drop off at and hold out with a 6-foot pole and you can pick them up or something. We can figure that out, or I can find a way to leave them at the station or whatever.
Well, if Saul Goodman picked them up.
Yeah, it was this thing, Cold War, wasn't that called a dead drop? Spies did dead drops to each other?
I think it was something like that. But this book is going to be great. Next week, we're going to talk about Called Out But Safe, Al Clark, the former AL umpire, his memoir, the only guy ever to have his name on his hat as an umpire in pro ball. And then the week after that, a book which Rich Kimball is just eat up, called Red Sox in Fives and Tens, Boston's Agony and Ecstasy by Bill Nolan, forward by Rico Petrocelli. It is the most trivia dense yet fun read I've come across in a long time. Every bit of you can stump somebody, it's all in here. And what it is they're annotated lists of the greatest or the worst, five this, five that, 10 this, 10 that in Red Sox history. And it's as Nolan is a revered member of the baseball research group, it's very thorough and it's really a lot of fun. I think it'll be great.
And I saw, Bruce, you had a little online conversation about the Al Clark book with Bob Ryan the other day.
Yes, Al Clark and Bob Ryan played on the same PAL team in New Jersey when they were growing up. Clark would admit, it says that Ryan was a much better baseball player. Al was not a great baseball player. As he said, a weak hitting catcher with a rag arm. But during batting practice, as Bob was to say, one got away and clipped Clark in the helmet. He says, no harm, no foul, Bob Ryan. And that's pretty much what Al Clark said, too. But his father, Clark's father, was a sports writer for the Trenton paper. And so he originally thought he might want to do that, but he decided that he'd rather eat steak than hamburger and tried another career than be a small city sports writer. But it was a good book. It was really enjoyable. And, man, you come across everybody in that book in baseball and a lot of people from other areas, other walks of life. So it's really good.
Excellent.
But today's book, Will Gehagan is a sports writer from Rhode Island. And it's one of those books. It's a lot like Wax Pack, and it's somebody said to themselves and said, in this case, to his wife, you know what I'd really like to do? And she said, sure, you should do that. And what he did was he knows the New England Collegiate Baseball League well, which is another wooden bat league like the Cape League. And we'll get to the Cape League as the main focus in a little bit. But they have teams around Rhode Island, in Newport and in Wakefield and in other towns. And these are mostly college kids who are hoping to catch the eyes of some scouts and maybe get a minor league deal or a tryout. One of the people who thrived as a result of playing in the Cape League, of course, that comes close to home, is Charlie Furbish, who was a Division III pitcher at St. Joe's down in Standish, was so impressive in the Cape League, LSU offered him a scholarship, and of course now he's a full-time big league pitcher. And the number of people you run across in this book who played in these wooden bat leagues is pretty amazing. You know, Charlie Huff, Carlton Fisk, Thurman Munson, Will Clark, Joe Girardi, Greg Vaughn, Chase Utley. I mentioned Charlie Furbish, Frank Thomas, Darren Erstad, before he played baseball, was the kicker, the place kicker for the University of Nebraska, and he used to practice field goals before games because a lot of these games are played in high school fields. A lot of the parks don't have lights, so the games start in the early afternoon. Players are, it's like juniors in hockey. You don't get paid. You get your expenses. You get to, you live with host families. But a lot of it is really good baseball. And I have always preferred, since I discovered it, I would rather go to a minor league game than a major league game any day. And I've been to many, many more minor league parks than major league parks. And there's just something about the crack of the bat, you know, which you get in the major leagues, but you don't get in college. You hear the clunk and the clink, and it just doesn't seem the same. Well, this guy gives us, we learn all kinds of things, like how did the Kootuat Kettleers get their name? The Kettleers got their name because the land they played on was purchased for Miles Standish for the price of a hoe and a large brass kettle. So they became the Kettleers. There, you go to the only place where a baseball game starts under natural light at midnight, out in Anchorage, Alaska, where the Gold Panners play in a league out there. Takes you to the California League, to the DC League, which is basically an urban city league that is really trying to also get kids into college. Takes you along into Virginia to a league down there. But what he focuses on all the time is the masterful way that these leagues manage to survive. In fact, one of the characters that comes in is really interesting is Dick Raddatz Jr., son of Dick the Monster Raddatz, former Red Sox reliever, who fell in love with baseball, just had a cup of coffee playing it, wasn't that good, and was up working in major league offices and stuff and said, no. And he went back and he manages the Midwest League, which is primarily teams in Wisconsin, Minnesota. And these teams play generally a two and a half month season. So they pick up players as soon as college is over. Excuse me. The college season is over, and then wrap it up in the summer so that they can get back to, excuse me, their preseason responsibilities where they are. This is written with a real fan's eye. It's a book that, you know, you don't have to be a baseball fan even, I think, to like the romance of this. Because it doesn't sugarcoat anything. But what these leagues do, and I had never thought about this, is college teams usually play two weekend games or play twice in a weekend, usually a doubleheader and a single game, three games a week, maybe four. Some of the SEC teams more in the middle of the season. But they don't travel by bus days on end. They don't go on 9 and 10, 11, 12, 15-day road trips. And one of the reasons that a lot of pro teams like kids who have come from the wooden bat leagues is they already know what life in A-ball is like. They know what life in an independent league is going to be like. They tend to have matured in a way that a lot of other kids that maybe have been drafted right out of high school haven't reached that same level of maturity. And so he takes us around the country. You know, we go to the rainouts, we go to the blowouts, we go to the every park that he goes to. We learn something about the people that run the team, the people who have been on the team, the history of the team. There is a World Series played between two teams from these leagues, chosen on a less than totally objective basis every year in Wichita. But for the most part, these guys are just going to play baseball for several months, improve their skills. A lot of them will be able to transfer to better baseball programs or will find themselves drafted when they hadn't been. And some of them move up dramatically. The coaches tend to be people that have been doing it a long time, and the managers as well. So it seems like the kind of thing, if you were a 22-year-old kid and you had one season of eligibility left, playing in the Cape would be great. And it also reminded me of something that our women's hockey goalie, Carly Jackson, who works as a trainer in the Cape League in the summer, said to me, she said, it's one of the purest forms of baseball, Bruce, because everybody out there has to love every single game. You can't take a night off. You can't take a day off. You can't say, coach, I don't feel like it, because you're only going to play 40 games and you got to play them all. And I thought that was really something that I liked to hear.
Excellent. The book is called Summer Baseball Nation. Who's the author again?
It's Will Gehagan, G-E-O-G-H-E-G-A-N. It's from Nebraska, and the subtitle is 9 Days in the Wood Bat Leagues. Marty Appel for the New York Yankees historian wrote a really nice blurb about it. Gehagan covers both the Cape League and the New England College League, New England Collegiate Baseball League. So he's got a real firsthand look into this. It's a great tour. It's a fun book. I can't wait to meet him on the air.
Excellent. Bruce, we thank you. Sports Lit 101 every Wednesday.